So the word shamanism, I think that a lot of people have an idea that it's something really scary or weird, or I don't know, something like black magic or dark arts or something similar. When really and truly, it's in all our lives every day if we only know how to reach out and touch it. My name is Anna, and in this podcast is my pilot podcast, and I'm really, really excited to be starting this. I'm going to go through some things that I think might be interesting for some people about how I got into shamanism. So keep on listening and we'll get right into it. You're listening to the Irish Shamanism Show, a podcast all about Irish nature-based spirituality, healing and community. My name's Anna, a native Irish Bamfaza, a woman of knowledge, aka a tribal healer or shamanic practitioner, to give it a more well-known term. I'm also a holistic counsellor and psychotherapist, trainer, and ordained pagan priest and celebrant. In this show, we'll be discussing all things to do with traditional Irish and Celtic healing methods, nature-based spirituality, and what it's like to be a modern Irish pagan. I will also be chatting to some very exciting and interesting members of the wider pagan community for their take on Indigenous spirituality, paganism, traditional healing practices, and many other related topics, issues, and concerns. So thanks for tuning in. Fill your cauldron with your beverage of choice. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Fáilte romhaibh agus beannacht tí. Hello and welcome to my pilot episode, and I'm really excited. It's taken quite a lot of effort and time and research and financial outlay even to get this far, and I just want to make a shout out to my big sis, who is Clarissa, who's doing her own podcast, and she was a great help to me. And you can follow her on Clarissa Explains Life, 5 episodes out there. So she led the way and I was able to follow, which is great. So as I said, this is my pilot episode and I'm so excited to be doing this. And I've been thinking about this for such a long time. But in this episode, I really want to go into, just introduce myself and go into what is shamanism? What is Irish shamanism? What makes Irish shamanism different? How did I get into it? Like, how did I become interested in it? And, you know, and then what led me to look into training as a shamanic professional? And how do I use it in a therapeutic setting and also my everyday life? You might want to listen to the end of this podcast as well, because I'm going to give you some tips on how you can use shamanism in your everyday life, even without having any training or any expertise in it. And also a link to some bonus free content that I have created. So let's get to it. As I said, my name is Anna and you're very, very welcome here. So just to give some background about myself, I am an Irish person. I was born in County Wexford, which is right on the coast in the sunny southeast. So the Mexican Gulf just comes right into the coast of Wexford and it gives us some really nice weather. Not all the time, but, you know, a lot of the time it definitely is known as the warmest part of Ireland. And we also get kind of warmer waters as well. So I grew up by the coast, by the sea, and going swimming a lot of the time. So I have a real love for water. I have a real love for the sea. I have a real love for salt water. And I grew up quite an alternative lifestyle. My parents were kind of hippies. And we grew up, I have 2 sisters and 1 brother. So the 4 of us, we grew up quite an alternative lifestyle, different to a lot of the, well, all the people, I would say, in our locality and in our small village. As I said, it was a very rural setting. We had a lot of animals. We had horses. We had goats. We had chickens. We had turkeys, dogs, cats, you name it, we had it. So it was a very outdoor life, hard work, in nature, on the land, working with animals, growing things, and, you know, spending a lot of time outdoors. And that, I think, gave me a very good start to really moving later in life into what we call nature-based spirituality. And shamanism is very much a kind of a nature-based. Now, having said that, it doesn't mean to say that you can't be a shamanic practitioner, a shamanic person living in the city or living in the town. You definitely can, because nature is all around us, no matter where we live. And we can do things to bring nature closer to us as well. So it's about making the best of what you have on hand. So, as I said, I lived in Wexford, grew up, born and bred, and spent some time traveling, lived abroad, but eventually came back to Ireland in my late 20s and moved to Cork, which is in Southern Ireland, and lived there for a few years and had my daughter there. And at that stage, I was married and I got divorced and ended up moving back to Wexford to be closer to my family. Now, that's a whole other story I'm not going to get into here, even though it does have some sort of bearing on my story, for sure. Everything that you go through in your life does, and especially hardships. So I would have had quite a few hardships growing up, without a doubt, as vast majority of the population do. I had quite a lot of traumas, abuse in my past, and I carried that all through my childhood, through my teens and through my 20s. And then in my 30s, I had, as I said, I'd had my child and I went through a divorce, a major relationship breakdown. And I had some mental health issues. I had some quite serious mental health issues. I'm not afraid to say that. I don't have any problems, and I don't think anybody should be. So I needed a lot of help, and I ended up having to engage in the mental health services in the town that I was living in. And that meant also engaging in counselling, seeing psychiatrists, seeing psychologists, all the rest of it. I'm eternally thankful for that. At that stage, I was working as a sales supervisor, I suppose you could say, sales manager. I was working very high stress, very, you know, quite well paid, but very target driven, stress job. I was very good at my job, but it was incredibly stressful, and I was in a situation where I wasn't doing very well at all, and there was people around me who were hurting me and kind of taking advantage of my mental health. So I ended up having to stop working altogether and having what I would call a breakdown, even though a therapist that I saw after that stopped me and said, Anna, you didn't have a breakdown, you had a breakthrough. And that's always stayed with me, because I absolutely love that. It's such a great way of describing it, because it was a breakthrough. It changed my whole life. I mean, at the time, it was absolutely shit, and nobody should ever have to go through anything like that. But, you know, it really was one of the best things that's ever happened to me and changed my life. Literally, you know, it was a whole new page. It was completely 180. Flip-flop, total change. So as I said, I had to start engaging with mental health services, and in that process I got a lot of help and I got a lot better. And I decided then that, you know, I really liked this system of therapy and helping people. So I decided I wanted to train as a counselor, you know, psychotherapist. And I decided that I wanted to go back to college and train, which I did. And I really do not know to this day how I managed to do that. I had a lot of help and support from my family and friends. I was a single mother on my own with not very much money, but I put myself through college and with a lot of support. And I graduated in 2011 with my degree in counselling and psychotherapy, and I started work as a counselor, which was fantastic. I absolutely loved it. I still love it to this day. I'm working with clients and I still to this day love it. I had been, during that time, I had also engaged with some more alternative forms of therapy. And one of my friends at that time was seeing what she called a shamanic counselor. And that really piqued my curiosity. I really didn't know what that was, but it sounded like, wow, this is amazing. So can I do it? And she gave me the details of this lady that she was seeing. And I went to see her. And the minute I went to see her, I just knew that this was just me. I can't even explain how that felt. I was always a very, very spiritual person. Religion-wise, I had turned against the religion that I was brought up with and brought up viewing in Ireland. I'm not going to get into a religious debate right now, but I had really questioned. And during my 20s, I had looked into alternative religions like Buddhism. And I think toward the end of my 20s, I was even practicing Buddhism at that stage. Then when I moved back to Ireland, I did still practice for a while. But before and during and even, straight after that, I really, the land started calling me. And I wasn't even sure what that meant. But I started realizing that I felt connected to the land in Ireland. I felt connected to the land of my ancestors and the lands of my people. And I started kind of almost magically, people started appearing in my life that were like-minded. And I realized that what I was experiencing or what I was feeling was called paganism. And we will have another discussion on another day. In fact, I'm just making a note here about that. Paganism really is a very, very broad term and almost kind of meaningless because it's so broad. But I think it just means, like, most people might agree, but some might even disagree about it meaning earth-based spirituality. It's not an organized religion, as in one of the five major religions, let's say, which are all very, you know, patriarchal, monotheistic, and I'm not sure I said that right, but one God and very structured. So paganism, you know, you tend to have the male and the female aspect, and it's polytheistic. Again, not sure if I'm saying that right, but we'll go with it. So you have more than one God, and you have a pantheon of gods and goddesses, deity, and they cover so many things, but usually and often they are really kind of focused on natural aspects. So you kind of have like the moon goddess and the sun god. We have a whole array of them in Ireland. And the Irish pantheon, the Irish gods and goddesses kind of refuse to be pigeonholed into, you know, the god of wine and the goddess of love and the god of war. That just doesn't work for the Irish, and a lot of that kind of confuses a lot of people, but that's a whole other story and something I'm really excited to talk about. But yeah, so the Irish pantheon doesn't really work like that. And I realized, to get back on track, I realized that, you know, it was paganism. And I had always kind of leaned that way. I was fascinated as a child with, you know, with what I used to call like Greek and Roman mythology and Egyptian mythology. And it was always talking about the gods and the goddesses. And even in my teens, I was really questioning about this like whole god thing. Even though I loved the community and I loved the kind of like the warmth of having people around and, you know, being held and supported and accepted. But I really questioned that, and it never made sense to me that, okay, there's a god, but where's the goddess? Where's the female? As I'm saying this, I'm actually looking at a beautiful statue of a goddess. My eye was just drawn there. But where's the female counterpoint? Where's the balance? And in nature, all around, what I was seeing was, you know, this balance, the male and the female and the in-between as well. You know, it's all a spectrum, but it's not just one God, male patriarchal God telling us all what to do and, you know, being very kind of judgmental and all the rest of it. So I had always had that feeling throughout my life that things just didn't really fit. And then, as I said, when I kind of moved back to Ireland, I felt this calling of the land, and I realized that I identified as a pagan, and I started kind of magnetizing all these kind of people into my life. When I went to this shamanic counselor, and it was such a beautiful experience, and it was so enriching, and everything clicking into place, and the spiritual aspect of it was just so intense for me. And during that time as well, I also started attending a group of, so in Ireland, there is a home base of this beautiful association called the Fellowship of Isis. Isis being the mother goddess of the Egyptians, but representing the mother goddess of all different pantheons, the goddess in all of us. So the Fellowship of Isis, and the foundation center is in Wexford in a place called Clonegal. And they were holding, they still are, well, not at the moment because of bloody COVID. We kind of do it online now, although I haven't attended in a while, but they have been doing for decades and still do these group gatherings, the ceremonies in this beautiful old castle, which was at the time owned by Olivia Robertson, who was guardian of the Fellowship of Isis. But it was extreme. All faiths welcome, all people welcome, everybody welcome. And, you know, everybody made welcome. So I started attending that. And funnily enough, when I remembered that my mother had brought me and my sister there when I was 16 years old. So it was kind of like, I just got this, again, this intense feeling of I'm home. And the first time I went, I was so scared. And I was just like, okay, I'm going to go to this. I really feel this calling, but I'm terrified. I don't know. I didn't know what I was going to get myself into. I didn't know what to expect, but I had to go. So I went. And as soon as I went, I was like, oh my God, this is where I need to be. This is where, you know, it was just like click. And at that time, Olivia, at the time, she led all the ceremonies and all the festivals. And in that, there was a guided meditation. And during that, I had the most intense, beautiful experience. This mother figure came to me, and I just knew it was the goddess, a goddess, all goddesses. And she hugged me, and she said, she just claimed me. And I just knew that I was hers, and I was supposed to be hers. And afterwards, there's a lovely get together of everybody goes and has tea and sandwiches and talks together. And I didn't really know these people at all. I just knew that I was one of them. I was part of them. And I plucked up the courage, and I just asked, how does one become a priestess of the Fellowship of Isis? How does one train to become part of the clergy? And they were just all like, oh, well, we haven't done that in a while. It's been, I think at that time, it had been about 5 years since anybody had been ordained. And Olivia kind of just knew who was supposed to be or who wasn't supposed to be through knowing them and knowing the training that they'd had and the commitment that they have. She would make that decision. But at that time, I suppose nobody really knew me also. They were just, well, we don't really know, but now that you mention it, we really should put something together, like a training program or something. Let us get back to you. And I was like, okay, because I really want to do it. Not long after that, they did get back to me and said, look, this is what we're going to do. But at that time also, I was, you know, doing my final year of college. I was preparing for my finals. I had, you know, my projects and everything, and I just couldn't commit to it. So I had to say no. But the year after, I did do that training program. Yeah, and in 2014, I was ordained as a priest of the Fellowship of Isis, which was, I mean, I can tell you, it was a year and a half of intense training. And at the same time, just to kind of circle back as well, I had also started my shamanic training. So I had finished my counseling and psychotherapy training. So I was going deep, deep, deep within, and my whole soul and spirit had been exposed, broken, battered, and I was putting myself back together through all of these different mediums. When I look back at it, I had really taken on a massive, massive undertaking, but it was right, and it still is. Just to circle back, I had gone for this shamanic counseling, healing, and I just went, oh my God, I need to do this, because I just felt like I love the counseling and the psychotherapy, and it is, you know, it's amazing, and that's still my passion, and helping people. And even to this day, I'm still training and I'm still learning, and how brains work is just so fascinating to me. But it just felt like there was something missing. Counseling and psychotherapy is like very focused on the mind and the mental health, as it should be, the connection to the body. There is also the connection to the spirit, but I just always felt that really spiritual side of things, the soul of people, is and was missing. So it was like putting that dot together when I started my shamanic therapy training. It took me 6 years. I think I started in not long after I finished my degree. I started that, and in the meantime, so it was a monthly thing. It was a monthly training, and then in the meantime, you had like homework and training and experiential work and lots of that to do yourself. And then you would come back to your trainer and you'd move forward. But in the meantime, I moved away from Wexford. I moved to the Midlands of Ireland, which is, you know, about a 3-hour drive. Bogs all around. Missed the sea so much. The bogs have their own beauty. It's incredible. Yeah, I've always missed the sea, and I still do to this day. I have a plan, me and my partner, because I moved to the Midlands to be with my partner who was living here. And our plan has always been to move back to Wexford, because he has a big connection to Wexford too. That's what we definitely would plan to do, and will do at some stage. But I moved to the Midlands, couldn't keep up with my month. And also I had had some experiences along the way that had knocked me off course for a little while, but I always came back to it. So in the end, it took me 6.5 years to train. Now, that sounds like a long time. The minimum amount of time is 2 years, but I really don't know anybody who's done it in 2 years. And I know that the maximum has been 10 years for some people. So I think 2.5 years or 6.5 years isn't bad. I'm telling myself that anyway. I'm sticking to it. It was what it needed to be. And I would not have wanted to take any shortcuts with that work, because believe me, shortcuts mean you end up going the long way in the long run. That's for sure. A lot of stories about that kind of thing for another day. I ended up really integrating and I kind of did some other things along the way. Like I became a Reiki master. I've always been big into crystals, and I was doing a lot. I don't really work with crystals anymore. I do crystals. I have some questions around ethics and where they come from and how they're mined and all that sort of stuff. And yeah, I find that really hard. But my core interest has remained and always will be my counseling, psychotherapy, and my shamanic work. So that's how I became a shamanic therapist, and I still am learning and I'm still growing in that professional. So what is an Irish shamanic therapist? So I just want to really go into that quite briefly. But first of all, I really would like to say that, you know, shamanism for me is very much a way of life. It's not something that I do, it's something that I live. And in the Irish tradition, we use the word shamanism as a way of, because it's not a modern term, but it's a term that's well known to most modern people, though some people don't know it either. But it's easy to identify and look up and kind of get an overview of what it means. Because in the Irish tradition, or the Celtic, the older Irish tradition, we wouldn't have really known what these people were called, because it was very much an oral tradition. Things weren't written down. They were passed down through the generations, voice to voice. And it was also very much a storytelling tradition. So through the Druids and the Bards and the Ovates, it was very much an oral storytelling tradition. And with the coming of the Romans, though the Romans didn't invade Ireland, they definitely came to Ireland through Great Britain. So we don't really know, but we have signs, and we know that throughout the world, all indigenous cultures have very similar practices. We can use those practices as kind of signs of how our own people may have worked. And we can also see signs in the writings of the Christian scribe that did get written down, even though they're biased against the indigenous religion that was here, the pagans that were here, because they were, you know, they were demonized. But we can still see signs. We can still see hints of what may or may not have gone on. And also there are some manuscripts that did survive, so we can also look into them. But the name that may have been given to people who practice this type of healing may have been Ban or Far Faza, which in Irish meant man or woman of knowledge, simply put, wise man or wise woman. It may also have been Caliach Faza, which would have been wise witch, even though the connotation of witch in the English language has had some very negative connotations. And that's something we will also go into at a later date. I'm making lots of notes here. There may have been words such as dri used as well, which is a derivative of the word drichter, which is magic. A derivative of that might have been a magic worker. Again, using the English word magic has also got connotations. There could have been maybe words around the word druid or something like that. So I suppose I would generally call myself, as you heard in my introduction, Ban Faza, or a shamanic practitioner in English. And again, that whole thing of shamanism, I would never call myself a shaman, and I would be very, very uncomfortable if someone else calling me a shaman, because I am not. I am a shamanic practitioner. I practice a certain amount of core shamanism, which is what we see kind of in all the different cultures across the board, kind of pulled together. But I am not a shaman, because we'll speak about that at a later date. I have a note made about that already. The whole appropriation of that word shaman when it's used outside very specific Siberian tribes that use that to describe their spiritual people of the tribe. So yeah, I would be very uncomfortable with that term being put on me, and I would never use that for myself. But I won't say I'm okay with using the term shamanic practitioner. It is a title that, or shamanic therapist, it is a title that signals to other people the work that I do, and generally people understand it. It has become synonymous with the type of work. So what type of work is it? It is spiritual work. And again, the word spiritual is a very loaded term in our modern society, but it's spiritual in that there is contact with spirit. So the shamanic practitioner across the board, across all the native indigenous peoples, works with spirit, in that we work with our spirit guides. That's a big part of it. So spirit guides such as animal guides, our ancestor worship is a huge thing within the Irish culture in general, and definitely for a shamanic practitioner. And again, that's a topic for another day. So I'm getting a nice list going here of all the different topics. So if I was ever worried about, you know, what I was going to talk about in future episodes, well, I'm getting a really good list, which I already had one, so I'm adding to it, and most of the stuff is already on my list. Oh, and as a point, having said that, if anybody has anything that they would like to hear me talk about, if anybody ever wants to hear me talk about anything that is, then you can email me at contact@irishshamanism.com. Irishshamanism.com is my website. So you can go on there and fill in the contact form, and I will repeat it at the end of this episode, as well as leave a link down below and wherever you listen to your podcasts usually. So yeah, so there's contact with spirit, and that's the main part of the work that we do. Shamanism is the oldest form of healing known to mankind, and again, it is across the board. Almost every native or indigenous group of people has a shamanic practitioner or healer, tribal healer. And I suppose, you know, we kind of think of the than maybe the Native Americans with their medicine man, medicine woman of the tribe. It's very different. I'm not claiming that Irish shamanism is anything like that, but we do have a very rich culture in Ireland, of old culture of healing and nature-based magic healing and spiritual healing. So I suppose that's really like the gist of what shamanic healing is, but it's a lot more than that. It's a knowledge of how to help people, and the shamanic healer would have been so much more than just a healer of people. It would have been a healer of the land, a healer of dwellings, a healer of the tribe, the counselor, person who had knowledge of the herbs and how to use them, the midwife possibly, the person who would bless animals, and you know, so it was a massive part of tribal life back in the day, back in, you know, maybe Stone Age time of our Celtic ancestors. A big part of what we do then is that we will, you know, we will go into a trance, we will shift our consciousness to work with spirit. Although after so many years of doing this, I think, you know, very liminal. I feel like I always have like one foot in this world and a lot of the time one foot in the other world, the world where my guides dwell, where my helpers are. So a lot of people ask about hallucinogenic drug or plant, that kind of thing. I don't mean herbalism, but ayahuasca, you know, peyote, that kind of thing. Well, there's not really any evidence that was ever used in the Irish tradition. I don't use it. I've no judgment to people who do use it, you know, whatever you do you, but personally I don't use it. How do we do that? How do we shift our consciousness? We would use what we would call journeying, and the tools that we would use then would be like the drum or the rattle, the repetitive sound, maybe breath work, chanting, singing, dancing, that kind of thing. What I usually use is the drum, my breath, sometimes a rattle. Just really, when you've been doing it for quite a long time, you can get back into that pretty quickly. Shift your consciousness back into that trance state very, very quickly. Do I want to say... So it fits in very well with my counselling and my psychotherapy. I think that it kind of adds a new dimension to it, and a dimension that's kind of really needed, that spiritual side of things. And I kind of felt like it was new for me, but when I started getting really into it and I started looking into it, I realised that there are a lot of counsellors, psychotherapists, very well trained, you know, working, who have also done extensive training in shamanism, because they really do, you know, the jigsaw puzzles really do fit together so well, both for personal healing and personal growth, and also for helping other people. And just to get in that, you know, it's, I think that idea of the shamanic practitioner as the healer who has really like been through it themselves and is on the continuous quest to heal the parts of themselves that are wounded and traumatized is a very, very important part. You know, it's that the wounded healer. And I think that most people who are into this kind of work, really, like, you can't do it without going into those really deep, dark places. For me, it's really been an awakening and a remembering, a reconnecting with nature, definitely, hugely, with the universe around me, and the feeling that we are all connected, and that, you know, seeing the soul in everything and not just what we consider living things. And it's a very much an animistic point of view where you see everything as having soul and everything as having spirit. So again, it's like people and animals, yes, of course, but also trees and rocks and, you know, bodies of water and rivers and everything being soulful and having a spirit. For me, it's been a reconnecting with all of that, but also with my family and friends and loved ones. And ultimately, I really believe that this whole journey is a reconnection to self. And that for me is the most important part of this whole thing. So I said, how did I get into it? What was my path into it? How do I use it in a therapeutic setting? It's my way of life. So I can't not use it in therapeutic sessions with my clients, because it's part of me. It's part of who I am. It's part of the way I live. And it's, as I said, I've got one foot in and one foot out all the time. So it's always with me. My guides are always with me. My breath is with them. My ancestors are always with me. I can't not use it. And that's how I use it in my everyday life as well. I'm constantly, my guides are always with me. Even though I still journey to look for insight, to look for knowledge, to look for healing, to look for answers. And again, it's not just for myself, for my clients, but this is also a healing for the world around us. And part of the Irish tradition as well is very much an oracle, a seer. So people will often come to you as well looking for, I suppose, what we would call fortune telling in this kind of modern day world. But it's not really that at all. It's something very different. And that is part of the work as well. It's that all round helper in any way that you possibly can. You're helping other people. That's how I use it in a therapeutic session. And obviously I'm not going to go into great detail now, but I will in future episodes. So I did say at the beginning that I wanted to give you some tips on how to use it in your everyday life, and then the bonus free content. So for me, how can you use it in your everyday life? Well, it's really quite simple, even without any training or anything. Your guides, even though you might know them, and I suspect that some of you probably do, you have an idea of who or what your guides are. You may have even done some of this work yourself, but even if you haven't, they know you. They've always known you. They've always been with you. You can call on your guides at any time. So anytime that you are feeling down or hurt or angry or upset or in pain or fearful or anything, you can call on them for wisdom, questions, for protection, for help. It's all about keeping your senses awake. So this isn't about seeing or hearing. It's about feeling on your inner planes. Even though when I work, I do sometimes see clearly with my third eye. I even sometimes hear things, words, phrases, sentences clearly, like somebody is beside. Not very often though, it's more of a feeling. So I always tell people, keep all your senses alive, because sometimes it's like it's an inner feeling, or sometimes it can be like a taste in your mouth or a smell in the air that reminds you of something. So spirit can only talk to us in metaphor. Spirit evokes memories, spirit evokes feelings, spirit evokes different sensations, and then it's up to us to interpret them yourself. And then you can also ask for help from somebody who's more experienced with that kind of thing, like a shamanic practitioner. You can call on your guides at any time. You don't need to know their names. You don't need to know who they are specifically. You can just call out, because they're there. They're with you always, and they're waiting for you to open those doors. They really are. You can meditate and ask them for help. You can meditate and ask them to be with you. You can, a really good way when you start doing things like that is keep an eye on your dreams. Keep an eye on your, particularly in nature around you. So when we start opening ourselves up to this kind of thing, we start seeing signs and synchronicities, what we might call oracles in nature. We might see that buzzard flying overhead, or we might see that leaf or that stone that's shaped in a particular way, or we might see an abundance of a certain type of tree that we mightn't have noticed before. An animal might come up to us that kind of, oh, what's that? Or we see that fox at the side of the road. Once we start seeing that, and then again we have to interpret that. How do we interpret it? What kind of feeling does that bring up? Or we can, again, ask for help from somebody who's had a lot more experience in this kind of thing. And we can always ask, there's no harm in asking for help. In fact, it's a really good thing. And then the other thing you can do as well is that if you go onto my website, which is irishshamanism.com, there's a tab there that says download and listen to free drumming tracks. On that, you'll see that on that website, I have a lot of information. There's blogs and there's articles that I've written, so you can get more information about all of this. But also under that particular tab, I have recorded, made available to people for free, four different drumming tracks, 2 10-minute ones and 2 20-minute ones, and two of them have what's called the callback and two of them don't. That's all explained on the website, but it just depends on what you're in the mood for at the time. And it's just really to realize that some people aren't able to or don't have the time to do like full 20 minutes. And actually, some people have asked me for longer ones as well, say half an hour or 40 minutes, which I'm in the process of doing as well. They take quite a lot of time to produce and to get the sound right, to get them right. You can use them if you've done journey work before. You can use them for journeying, you can use them for meditation, or you can just relax to the sound of the drumming. And you know, the drum is incredible. It's such a healing sound in and of itself, and it mimics the beat of the heart. There's been so much scientific research done on the drum and how it helps people and how it helps to heal. And that's just before you start to use it as an aid to do meditation and journeying. You can go onto that website and you can listen to them there. You can download them, whatever you want yourself. And it's for free. And that's my gift to you. And also, I am in the process of downloading or recording guided meditations as well, so that I will be putting up on my website for free. And you can contact me at any time. You can send me an email, or my phone number is on the website. You can send me a WhatsApp message. Please don't ring me, because I really don't like answering the phone, and also I could be busy, so I don't tend to answer the phone if people ring, unless it's, you know, somebody that I know. But if you email me is the best option, or WhatsApp, I will get back to you soon, and I'm very happy to help. Or you can book an appointment with me. So I'm working over Zoom at the moment, again, because of the virus and the pandemic. But also in general, Zoom is a great way to reach people that can't come and see me in person, even if they could, but also worldwide. That's another really good option. So I think I'm going to leave it there. I know that there's a lot that I haven't mentioned. I really just wanted to introduce myself and introduce the work that I do and how I do it, how I got into it, and just hopefully give you maybe a taste of what Irish shamanism is and a taste of what's to come. I have so much planned for this podcast. I plan to hopefully record one a week, and now that I've done my first one, my pilot episode, it's not as bad as I thought it was. I was very scared, pretty terrified to do this, and I've done it now, and you know what, I definitely can do it again. I'm actually really excited about it. Thank you so much for being on this journey with me. Thank you for tuning into the Irish Shamanism Show podcast today. I really do hope you enjoyed it, or that you might have got something out of it. And I really hope that you'll go onto my website and have a look around. Send me in any questions or comments that you might have, because I love connecting with people. As I said, this for me has been all about connection. If you are a shamanic practitioner yourself, I hope I haven't said anything to offend you, and if I have, I am very sorry, or if I have given out some wrong information. This is all just how I understand it myself, and I'm a little bit nervous as well, so I may have stumbled or said the wrong thing, and if I have, I'm very open to talking about that, and just send me a message and we can go from there. So yeah, if you have any ideas for future episodes, or there's something that you'd like to know more about, or anything like that, you can please don't hesitate to message me or email me. I've already given contact at irishshamanism.com. And if you haven't done so already, please, please subscribe to my show. I plan on doing one a week, and I'll be updating it to whatever platform you listen, be it iTunes or what's it called? The Android. I'm an Android person, so I should know this. The Play Store podcast, whatever that platform is called. I use Castbox myself for podcasts that I like listening to. So whatever platform, it would be really helpful to me if you did like it, even if you left a message, subscribe to the show, shared it with your friends and your family, you know, if you want to. And you could always leave that like 5-star review, wink wink, only if you want to, of course. And I'm gonna leave it here. I've rambled a lot, so I'm gonna be doing a lot of work to clean this up and edit it. I managed not to say any bad words. I usually curse a lot, so there will be curse words at some stage. It's been great. Speak to you very soon. Slán agus beannacht, which means goodbye and blessings.